Hey, welcome to the Night Church Podcast, where we meet every Friday evening for worship at the Loma Linda University Church for young adults by young adults. We hope this encourages you and someone else you know. Enjoy.
So the panel that we have right now, which I'm really excited about to have with you guys, it really stems out of the fact that I realized, you know what, to address this topic, how to ruin your 20s, really didn't fit for me because I didn't ruin anything. I just like really did everything perfectly, and so I had to bring these two to help me with that other part. I'm just kidding. No, I just realized that it's something that really each one of us had a different experience through our 20s and experiencing in your 20s. Alvin's still in his 20s. Kelly and I are the old ones, and I'm the oldest.
Yes,
and
you are.
So I just realized, you know what? It's really great for us to be able to have different perspectives on this and to be able to share into it together. And so that's why we're up here tonight, the three of us, as opposed to just me sharing this. But I want to set the stage here for this topic of how do you ruin your life in your 20s. There was a researcher who wrote a paper. It was a really interesting paper. He said, the title of the paper was, "If a butterfly flaps its wings in Brazil, will a tornado happen in Texas?" And he was talking about how little things can make a huge impact in life. How something so small and seemingly insignificant actually has the ability to make changes that are drastic. And this is actually the scientist who coined the term then that we have today, the butterfly effect. Little things, big impacts, seemingly insignificant, and yet either for great or for not, that can impact your life. And so tonight we're asking this question, how can you ruin your life in your 20s? And we're going to be kind of frank with you, and we're going to share from our heart. We may share some stories and how this looked in our life, and I'll definitely share some failures as well, and we're going to kind of talk into each other's points. So we're going to each share a point or two, and we're going to kind of leave it open to the rest of us to kind of comment into that. And so we hope that you'll get something out of this. And so would you just bow your heads with us as we pray? Amazing God, we come before you, Father, knowing that you can help us through this season of 20s, maybe we're even in our 30s right now. And God, I pray that you would bless this time of young adulthood. And Lord, we pray that as we speak and share, that it would bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing that I want to kind of start us off with is just asking or sharing more so on the idea that a lot of people look at the 20s as a practice round. And so how can you ruin your life in your 20s? You can treat it as if there's so much more to come that this time that I'm in, it doesn't really matter. So a lot of times what happened to me that I heard from my parents or even others, like, hey, you're young. You're young. Don't worry. You know, don't worry. It's all right. And you kind of take that to heart. And you take it in so much so that you end up seeing years go by with certain issues that you have. And you're like, well, I'm still young. It's okay. I'm still young. I still have time. It's all right. Good buddy of mine and I made a commitment that we were going to really read through the Bible. And it was something that someone looked at me when I said I'm going to do that. They're like, dude, you're just about to turn 20. Why are you wasting your time doing that? And I thought about that and I was like, you know, that's a good point. I guess I could do other stuff, but I had just become a Christian, and I kind of countered them, and I said, no, that's actually really important for me because right now is my time that I want to deepen and grow in my faith. And so I want to encourage you with this first point that I want to just bring up is this reality. You don't want to treat this time as a practice round because God has given us not an infinite amount of time in this human existence to make an impact for the kingdom, for others, and for him. So my first point, how do you ruin your life in your 20s? Treat it like a practice round instead of like a training ground.
And I wanted to add to that. Hi, guys. My name is Alvin. I am in my 20s, but 30 is just a month away. So I do want to add to that. It's a really good point. The biggest thing who here comes to my life group, Practical Christianity? Crickets. Okay. Someone raised their hand.
Everyone.
Thank you, Justin. Awesome. There's one thing I say in our life group all the time about these atomic habits, if you guys read the book. And it kind of goes like this. When we're in our 20s, we think we have all the time in the world. And so what we tend to do is we say that we're young. And every single time we say that we're young, we excuse all our bad behavior, all our bad habits. Sorry, I'm kind of blanking right now. What tends to happen is we say, we say we can hold off till later. We can hold off till later. And sorry, I'm blanking a little bit. Help me out, Kelly.
Alvin.
Hold on.
So as Alvin's thinking, I think when I was in my 20s, it was more of like I'm still figuring out my life. I'm figuring out my careers. I'm figuring out my relationship. I probably switched careers at least 6 times. And I know a lot of you guys can relate with that. I see a lot of nodding of your heads. But the beautiful thing about being in a liminal space or like a gray space in life is that you don't need to know exactly where you're going yet. But you can trust that you are still working on yourself, right? It's not like, oh, just because I don't know what career I'm going to be in, I'm just going to go to work at a restaurant and just give it like 50%. No, I'm going to go and give 100%. I'm going to be the absolute best I can be in that role. And in doing so, it gives you just this ownership, this responsibility of knowing that you still have leadership in every space that you go in. And so in all the jobs that I've had, I've been like a gymnastics teacher, I've been an anatomy TA, I've been a server, I've worked at Pottery Barn, I've worked in so many random spaces. And in each space that I show up, I am 100% myself, and I want to put 100% into that role. And so I think the beauty of being in your 20s is it's okay to be young. Like, I know you're saying, oh, but you're young, so it's okay. I think that's the beauty of it, is figuring out where you want to go in life. And as a young pastor, I keep making mistakes, and I get frustrated. I'm like, when am I going to finally stop making mistakes? But a senior pastor shared with me and said, be young, be new. This is the only time you have, but the thing that you have to realize is you have to learn from those mistakes. So every mistake that you do make, take note, like grieve over that mistake maybe, process it, talk to a friend about it, and then move forward by realizing our mistakes don't define us, but at least we can move on from that mistake.
Oh, thank you. I just made a mistake right now. I had a mental technical difficulty. I apologize.
That's all right, bro. That's all right.
I finally
You're still
found
in your 20s.
I found what I was going to say. So check this out. You know, when you're broke, right, when you have no money and you're greedy, all that happens when you make money is you'll just be more greedy. So what a job does when you're just making money, it just amplifies what you already are already. And I also think that's what a relationship does too. If you are greedy and selfish in a relationship, when you're single, you're greedy and you have all these negative habits. The moment you get into a relationship, it just amplifies what you are already. Because when you put your best foot forward, later, eventually your default will run its course. So my encouragement to you guys now, Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit, if you're wondering what to work on, it's those 9 characteristics right there. You don't work on them later, you work on them now, so that when you do have money, when you are in relationships, the fruits of the Spirit will really show.
And just to add to that, my husband, Logan, I don't know if he's here right now, I think he left, so probably good that he left. I'm going to share a little bit about him. He was single for 8 years. Like, in his 20s, he was mostly single. And he said during those years, he didn't go on a single date. He didn't ask anyone out. And he said during those years, he worked on relationships with friends. So just because he wasn't in a relationship didn't mean that he couldn't work on his communication skills. It didn't mean that he couldn't work on how to process feelings, how to process if someone hurt his feelings, and how to address that with someone. And I think it's the same for every single part of our lives in our 20s. I've seen friends who date, and they date without intentionality. I think having at least the intentionality of, like, I want to grow in this relationship. I want to grow and know who I am. Even that bit of intentionality will help carry you in your future relationships as well.
Wow, such a good point. You know, there's a really good book called The Defining Decade by Dr. Meg J., and it's all about the 20s. And she talks about how the 20s end up setting you up for so much later in life. And one of the things that she addressed in the book was the fact that so many times we let time go by so quickly and we feel like we have an infinite amount of time when we're young. And a lot of the reason why is because many times we're not planning thoughtfully for what is ahead. Because when you work backwards, you realize, wait a minute, I don't have an infinite amount of time to accomplish these things that I'd like to in my life. Whether it's a relationship or a career or learning a certain hobby or anything it is. And so planning ahead is so important. You know, Jesus talks about the fact that in each way in which we build our life, you can build it wisely or unwisely. There's the parable of the way in which someone builds a home. You can build your home on the rock, on godly principles, and you can build in a solid way that a storm will come and you won't fall. Or you can build your life on sand, foolish thoughts and ideas and ways of ruining your life. When a storm hits you, you're falling in your 20s. And you're experiencing some real serious hardship. So what I was hoping to at least get out of that idea of just, hey, be thoughtful with this decade. Don't just treat it as a practice swing. It's because you're becoming something. And so use these years intentionally, thoughtfully, productively. Some of you are here in your 30s and you're like, yeah, amen. I wish I would have, you know, been more intentional. And honestly, there are certain things that I wish I was much more intentional about. One of them being my health. You know, my dad was always like, we're sitting there at the table and they'd give me a little dessert. And there was like, oh, there's some extra. Give it to Philip. You're young. Man, I kept that up going throughout my life. I gained like 50 pounds since I got married. And it isn't muscle. There's a muffin cake under here, you know. And it's just like, wait a minute. This is not a practice round in my life. Just because I'm younger doesn't mean I can, you know, just be foolish and thoughtless. So really, really use this years of your life, these early years, so well to build who you will become down the road.
Although, enjoy your metabolism in your 20s, I do have to say.
All right, so what's another point that you two want to make about your 20s that you think would be really important for everyone?
I think one of the things, when I think back, I can't believe that I'm already close to my mid-30s, and I don't look like it. I don't feel like it. Like, I feel like I go up in the high school room and preach, and they think I'm a high schooler. So it actually does, like, make me feel really good. But knowing that I'm not, it's crazy. You look back and you're like, what could I have done in my life differently? I don't think I have any regrets per se, but watching a lot of people in their 20s go through their life and come to us during one-on-one sessions, one thing I've noticed is social media has a really big effect on us. And I think a lot of you guys can agree with that. It has been a part of my life since it's been invented. And I think it's something that I've had to be so intentional with. Now, I think back to every single part of my life. And when I was in my 20s, I would look at my health habits. I would look at how much I ate, because I would look at all my friends around me still eating like McDonald's every day. And I'm like, I can't do this when I get to my 30s and 40s and 50s. So for me, I don't know if it was a unique situation to just be like, I was so aware already that I'm going to get older. And as I get older, these habits aren't going to die off easily. I still fight them every day. And so something that I would encourage you to do is to journal, to write, to say, like, God, what is it that you want me to work on in which aspect of my life? Because there's so many, it can get overwhelming. So I would just invite you to ask God, what is the one thing in this season for the next 3 months this summer? What is something that you want me to work on? Is it my health? Is it my lifestyle? Is it my friendships? Is it my spiritual time? Is it my quiet time? Is it the fact that in my 20s, I was so afraid of what other people thought of me? How do I get that off my chest? It was something that I had really worked through and realized one day as I'm biking, I'm from Seattle area, so as I was cycling, I just remember thinking, like, there's no one on earth that I need to be pleasing more than God himself. And yet God is already pleased with me. So why am I trying so hard to make every person around me happy? And that's something that I'm still struggling and working on, but I started that intentionally in my 20s.
That's awesome. I love that so much. You know, one of the things that I think about, the fact that I am not who I want to be yet, and I can hold on to the promise of Philippians 1:6, that he who began a good work in us will complete it as the day of Jesus Christ comes. And so there's this hope that I have that even though I might feel as though, oh God, man, there's so much more that I want to do with my life. And God's like, yeah, there is a lot more. And I'm going to keep fulfilling those desires in your heart as you get older, as the days go by, as your life continues. There's so much that I want to do in your life, and I will help you. That's one of the other things that I felt a lot in my 20s was I felt lost a lot of time. I was just confused what to do in this situation. I can't tell you how many times I made some stupid mistakes, both financially and just in little dumb things. I'm just going to tell you a little story. The 20s are a time to make some mistakes, and it's okay. I was the best man in a wedding. I'd never been a best man. I was 22 years old. I was pretty young. And I was given the wedding rings. And that's a wonderful honor to be able to carry wedding rings. Little did I know that other people might want those wedding rings besides the couple. So I was given those wedding rings. I'm holding them in a bag. And we're taking pictures as a groom bridal party, and the photographer's like, hey, bro, you got to put that bag down. So I put the bag down. We're at a vineyard. We were the only ones there, supposedly. And all the groomsmen left their bags kind of on that table, and I leave that bag with the two boxes on that table. We go around the vineyard, take pictures, and we get back, and guess what was missing? That bag. And both of the rings. It's 15 minutes before we walk down the aisle with the couple, and all of a sudden, someone comes up to me as we're all lining up. Hey, do you have the rings? The rings. And I freak out, and we're going around. The rings are completely gone. Someone in the just kind of staff that was working there must have taken them, and they were gone. Little did they know that this punk 22-year-old didn't realize, hey, pull the rings out, put them in your pocket. You dummy, come on. They're so small. It didn't occur to me. And people around me were gracious, you know, just gave me two different rings. And the couple was like, ah. I don't think the groom, like, looked at me, you know, with any loving compassion at all. He wanted to just like, you know, and it was a painful, painful, painful moment, because 2 weeks later, we get married, my wife and I, and we give away half of all that anyone had given us as a gift to help pay for new rings. And we had to make a payment plan to this jeweler literally for almost a year and a half, because we didn't have barely any money, and that I was having to pay towards this. And that was such a hard mistake to make, both publicly and also as a new couple, my wife and I. And it also helped me understand something else that I want to drive into this. Like, while this is a time, as Kelly's saying, that, hey, you can make mistakes and you want to learn from your failures, there are ways in which you can also just choose not to learn from that. In business, there's this idea of a return on your investment and a return on your failure. But there's also just simply failure. Failure is when you refuse to learn from something and get a return for it, where you can still get value from that experience. Hey, I learned something about that couple. I don't know if they really valued us as true, genuine friends after that. It was just like, no, like, you ruined everything, our wedding. And I understand. I get it. But I also learned so much about us as a couple in resiliency. And hardships early on in life actually build up who you can become. You know, Paul is really clear. Hey, perseverance produces what? Character. people who know how to persevere as a young person in those early years can build character through those hardships. What you thought was your utter ruin was actually a moment for God to say, hey, I got something I want to do in that. Don't leave that as your failure. That is not a mark over you. That is not my sign on your life as you might believe right now. Grow through that. I really understood that even more so in our very first life group that we ever did here at Praxis almost 4 years ago. It was a group that had 18-year-old all the way up to a 91-year-old. It was really cool. This was when we were still allowing intergenerational experiences, and then we realized, hey, that's probably maybe not. But what was really cool was just that some of the guys ahead of us had been through divorces. They'd been through loss of a spouse, losing a job, complete bankruptcy. And you're like, and you recovered from that? I would be crushed. And they're like, bro, you'll make it. Don't worry. It's okay. And it was just like, whoa. Some of those things that happened to us in our 20s, whether they're things that we did by our poor choices or just, dude, life threw a left hook and you got hit in the face unprepared, that doesn't define you. That doesn't define you if you allow yourself to grow and learn through that. That's really important.
Go ahead.
I was just going to add, the best way to learn this is if you ever watch Phil with his kids. They are running around and they fall and they literally like dive into concrete and he just lets them because he's like, you have to learn, right? And so I think that's like the best way to learn like how to parent well is watch Phil.
I call it mitigated risks, okay? You know, it's like I'm cautiously allowing them to risk and it's great. It's great, actually, for them. They cry, they gash their knee, and I'm like, what'd you learn? You know, and that's the thing that'll happen to us sometimes. We will cry our eyes out, right? You make a piss-poor decision, and you are tearing up, and you're like, what the hell? Oh, God. You know, a broken relationship, financial mistake, grades, you didn't plan ahead, you got an F. Dude, that's great. You learned something from that. Hopefully, you don't leave that with just as the failure, but it builds you.
Anti-gentle parenting. I like it. Awesome. It actually kind of leads to one of my points that I was going to make. And if you come to my life group, there's this acronym I give out. It's about highly emotionally intelligent people. And there's five letters. It's ARMS. It's highly emotionally intelligent people have five of these. Awareness, regulation, motivation, empathy, and social skills. And motivation is a big thing for me. If you think of anyone who's highly emotionally intelligent in their 20s or 30s, they're always on it. My brother Sam, I don't know where he is, I can't really see him. But my brother Sam, if you guys follow him on Instagram, if you ignore the curse words, he has such good stories. If you see the stories, he's always talking about getting better in life. And also, he always adds biblical verses. And I kind of want to, if you guys have your Bible or if you guys have your phones, can you guys turn to this verse, Proverbs 16, verses 18. We'll wait for you guys to get there. Proverbs 16, verses 18, and it reads this.
Wait, are you waiting for us?
Sorry. Before you guys get into this, I'm going to talk about the motivation, but my main point about how to ruin your 20s and is about pride and being unteachable.
Oh, okay.
So Proverbs 16, verse 18, can you read
all
that
right,
for me?
All right, here. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall.
Haughty spirit, haughty means to be cocky, to be arrogant. And Proverbs 12, verses 15, if you could get to that, Kelly. Proverbs 12, verses 15. So we're talking about pridefulness and being unteachable.
Okay. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice.
Mm.
So we got pride and we got cockiness that comes right before the fall. And then we got foolishness who think that their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. I once heard this quote. If you know me about quotes, I love quotes. I know there's this one quote that hit me. It said, in order for you to grow, your threshold of your pain has to be equal to your threshold of growth. Because if you can't handle pain, you can't handle growth.
Wow.
And so if you take that, I'm a big numbers guy. If you take that equation and you have very low threshold of pain, if you get offended by every single thing that ever hits you, then you won't grow.
I'm so glad that you've been listening to the first part of the sermon. This sort of production does require some financial cost. If you'd like to reach more young adults with this across the world, would you consider giving at praxisministry.org? You can select the Praxis Young Adult envelope. Enjoy the rest of the sermon.
But think about the opposite. If you could just take it, if you could take the pain, if you could just extend all your pain receptors, then you have almost unlimited amount of growth. Go ahead.
I love that point so much. That makes so much sense to me. And a kind of a side angle to that is, you know, how you want to ruin your 20s is just don't allow yourself to be held accountable. You know, people who are prideful, they don't want to be held accountable. I know everything I need to know. Don't hold me. Don't tell me what to do. You know, and the problem with that is the fact that, you know, Proverbs also tells us, hey, in the counsel of many counselors is wisdom. You want to go about doing your life by yourself? Sure, fine, do it. Go ahead, run that way. But if you want to find yourself growing exponentially, as Alvin's bringing out, go about it together with people who want to make those big steps, big changes, amazing feats like you do. You will become like the five people that you surround yourself with. If they are lazy, gamers, wasting their money shopping, just scrolling all the time, just foolish, you will be exactly that. You surround yourself with people that are in the gym, hitting it in academics, career, profession, finances, striving to grow deeper in Jesus, you will become like them. So run with fools if you want to be foolish. But if you really want to go deeper, man, get wisdom from people around you. Be teachable and be okay being held accountable. Community is one of the most important things we can be part of. Some people are so afraid to be held accountable because they say that, hey, I'm being true to myself. Well, maybe your truest self is an idiot and it sucks. And you need someone to kind of let you know. And so be okay with inviting feedback. It's a scary thing, but I want to encourage you this weekend to consider doing this, okay? Find some people, and I would say more than one, because one person could be real hard, okay? But you need to take it. Just be like, hey, what are a couple of things you think I need to work on? What are a couple of things you see in my life? Now, some of us are deeply insecure people. I can be really insecure. I can be on certain things in my life, but man, I'm grateful for the people that can tell me the truth. And so, you know, Alvin did it to me this week. He was calling me out in the gym. And so it was good. But you need that. So allow yourself, just step into that. Like, Lord, I know who I am in you. Jesus, I am your son. I am your daughter. Okay, give it to me now. You know, just step into that and just take it like a woman. Take it like a man. And grow deep into that. Strive to learn from that.
That's actually what Alvin does all the time. He asks me all the time, what is something that I need to work on? So that's a really beautiful way to be open. And sorry, leaving you hanging. And I was also going to add, it's actually really scary to realize when your friends are not good influences on you. It's scary. Because that means that either one, you continue being influenced negatively, or two, you realize that you have to put a healthy boundary on that. And what does that healthy boundary look like? I mean, sometimes it could be just minimizing the amount of time that you spend with that person, but sometimes it means ending a friendship. And that is so hard to do. And so I would just encourage you to really reflect on the people that you are surrounded with, because it's easy to say one thing, but to actually do it, and I've had to do this a few times in my life, and it is painful. But it is, I think, ultimately worth it in the end.
I was going to share something real quick. I have a riddle, kind of a riddle. My cousin Peter told me this. It has like 4 points to it.
You're related to Peter?
Yeah.
Wow.
So so I want you guys to imagine something for me. So there's a room, right? You're on one Peter, if you're here, this quote, this riddle's. Anyways, you're in one corner of the room, and then on the other opposite corner is a cat. And all you have to do is catch the cat. You could use anything in your imagination to catch the cat. Anything. And for some reason, the cat will always run away. So if you are as imaginative and creative, the question is, how do you catch the cat? I remember when he told me this, it was a long time ago. And I was like, oh, I would throw a net that would expand every 3 millimeters, and it would just get bigger and bigger, and cat run away. But the cat will always run away. And I'm like, oh, I'll make the box smaller. And so that way I could catch, cat will run away. And I was trying to be as creative as I could, and I could not catch the cat. And the answer was so simple. The answer was this. You don't catch the cat. You let the cat come to you. Sorry. You don't catch the cat. You let the cat come to you. So how do you catch the cat? With cat milk. So I was like, duh. Like, duh. And then he man, it was great. If you guys know Peter, he's good and single. There's a biblical.
You guys like just got in your 20s when you did that.
I know, but let me wrap it up here. There's a biblical, a financial, and a relationship moral lesson in this, and it's okay. Amazing. I'm about to share. The cat is the money. The cat is that girl, that guy, or the cat is simply something you want, right? You're trying to catch this cat. You're trying to chase this money, but it always goes away from you. You're trying to catch this girl, but she's always going away from you. So the question is not how do you catch the cat. The question is, what is the cat food? What is the cat milk?
Mm.
I remember when I was like, huh. I was saying all these. And I remember in relationships, what is the cat food? It's your character.
Oh.
You guys have bad character, You'll have bad feral cats coming to you. You guys chase the money, you'll always be chasing the money.
Oh, man.
When Steve Jobs started Apple, did he start Apple to make billions of dollars? No. He started Apple to put a personal computer on everyone's laps. And what happened?
He did it.
The billions of dollars followed
it. That's right.
So my message to you guys is when you guys are trying to catch something in your 20s, you don't. You work on yourself. And that's why I'm big on the fruits of the spirit. And that's kind of my riddle to you guys.
I love that. That's so good. That's so good. I just got one last story to tell you. In a really good book that I want to encourage each one of you to read, Don't Waste Your Life by John Piper, one of our second or third seasons of life groups. Mariela, that's you right there? Hey. Cool. A woman who's doing something amazing in her 20s. So proud of you. So proud of you. She's going to be sharing about some really great mission things she did just recently. In the book, John Piper writes about a story right there in the very beginning. And it was about his father, who was an evangelist, who had shared a moving message. And he called people to make a decision. And that night, he made the appeal, and people came forward. Some were there at the altar praying and crying, and the music finished, and people had started clearing out of the sanctuary. But there was one man who had still just remained exactly where he stopped there at the front of the altar, and he was still crying. And everyone had left at this point, and Pastor Piper kind of goes up to the man. He says, sir, everyone's left. You realize that? I wasted it. I wasted it. Well, what did you waste? Look at me. And he lifts his head up, and you could see the wrinkles in the face. He said, I'm a man in my 80s, and I wasted my life waiting this long to come to Jesus. And you see, there are certain decisions that you cannot wait longer to make. And one of those I want to leave you with is really making a decision for Christ here as a young person and now. Really choose now to follow after Jesus. Seek first, Matthew 6:33, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you in this life. Friends, right now is your time to grow deep with the Lord. Find a way to connect with Jesus. Find a way to really dig deep into saying, God, I want to search after the things unsearchable, the things unknown about you, that my heart needs to grow deeper in love with you. One of the big things I want to just encourage you with is just to say, Lord, tonight I want to fall more in love with you. And I want to use this decade of my life, maybe you're in your 30s, this next decade of my life, well. I want to know that I finished well. When you come, that you might be able to look at me and say, good and faithful servant, come to the reward waiting for you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being so good unto us. Jesus, thank you so much for my friends who are up here. We get to share some of our fears and failures and moments when we misstep. But yet, God, we're so grateful that even when we think we've ruined it all, you're preparing more for us through that. When Satan thought he won and ruined your plan on the cross, killing God himself, you said, no, that was my plan to transform the whole world. And so, Jesus, would you help us to see that those spaces and ways in which we thought we ruined our lives are actually moments for you to shine more brightly in us. God, touch us with a healing balm, and maybe, God, for some of us, encourage us, propel us forward in a way we need to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to the Night Church Podcast. We hope you've been blessed by this sermon, and if you have, maybe you can share this with a friend. If you'd like to stay in touch, you can follow us on social media at Praxis Ministry, or come visit us in Loma Linda on a Friday evening. We'll see you in the next episode.